The company was incorporated in 2013 by our founders. The main idea at the time was to say that data scientists are a very specific profile that is hard to recruit, hard to discover, and hard to recruit for two reasons. First, because there's a major lack of skill in the market. And the second reason is that they often don't stay because they are kind of rare. It's easy to give them better offers, or they often move from place to place. So it's a very volatile profile. So the main idea was not to create a software that would remove them or make them useless, not at all. The idea was to create a software that would maybe lower the barrier of entry in the data science and machine learning field. So you still need to have data scientists to serve as experts of the machine learning part, which is mainly what they enjoy doing the most. So it's that makes sense. But you can have your whole analyst team carry some admittedly simpler machine learning tasks, but that they couldn't do without the tool. So the idea is to integrate to enable teams to collaborate on data projects, and adding the new predictive tools of machine learning to their historic workflow, which could be mainly probably SQL queries and analysis and statistics, but adding the predictive power to their analysis is a major improvement for companies. So it's mainly about collaborating and enabling various skills to work on those complex projects.
Okay. And how much of the product is using open source components that you've kind of assembled in an inventive way versus some custom code?
So the main things that are open source in the studio are related to machine learning and coding. Uh-huh. So you probably have, since apparently you've used the tool, you probably know that already, but we have some visual recipes that are mainly graphical interface ways of specifying what would be a SQL query otherwise. Mm-hmm. So that would mean joining and window and grouping, those kind of queries. So that's custom code. It's just enabling a graphical version of what you would do in SQL. There's one specific recipe, which is the prepare recipe, which enables fast data cleaning and preparation. So that's very specific. And then in terms of code, it's a bit more about open source because so executing code recipes, this is rather simple. It's just run the recipe, but to develop it, we offer the Jupyter notebook environment. Mm-hmm. So that's an open source project that coders really enjoy, especially people that code in Python. It's available for different languages, and we also have notebooks which are proprietary, but custom code. But it's for SQL, for example. We have we have just an environment that lets you tinker with little bits of data, and so that it's faster when you develop your query. So Jupyter as a first item of open source. The second major item would be for machine learning. In machine learning, we have several engines. The first one that sees shipped with the product, so it's always available. Mm-hmm. It's scikit-learn, so it's an open source machine learning library coded in Python. It runs locally, so that's why it's always enabled. But then if your infrastructure can bear running distributedly, we have several engines based on Spark. So we have MLlib, which is the open source machine learning library for Spark, and H2O. So H2O is a company that creates machine learning algorithms. Well, they have some algorithms. It's all open source, but where their business model is based on, they don't sell the software, it's based on something else. And so we do integrate that in the, so they have a Spark-backed engine, they have a Spark engine for their algorithms. So we have this, the variant is called Sparkling Water because it's H2O. So, and so that's another open source project. And lastly, the last machine learning engine I think is closed source because it's
And why? I mean, I was using the Mac version, and I would assume it's similar with the Windows version, but maybe not with Linux. But you've sort of packaged it up in this one-shot desktop application, and was that mostly just to make it easier for people to get started, or so you could control it a bit better? You know, the rollouts and the updates and things like that.
No, we don't. We don't actually control much of the update processes. Like it's let's say when we release a version, people have to download it. We don't really push it. There's, there's just a location where it says, "Oh, there's a newer version available. You can upgrade." But we don't roll out anything.
Okay.
So to answer your question, it's making some software packages is just for ease of use. Actually, when you use a local version of DataIQ, you are very limited in terms of features because everything's available, but you are working locally, so you are working alone, and fundamentally, DataIQ is about collaboration. So making a package is just, you know, so that people can work with their own personal instance. Here at DataIQ, we all have our personal instance, but mainly when we collaborate, we have servers that run a DataIQ instance that we connect to. So DataIQ always, it runs on a server, so the app makes your own computer a server, but basically, it's a web server, and so it's always accessed through the browser. So it was really about ease of use. The real enterprise deployment is really on the server that's accessed from the local network.
The types of work they tend to be doing. I mean, you have a lot of these kind of templates in the application, so I'm guessing that's...
So since the software is really generic, we don't have a specific... specific vertical we target. So historically, because the founders are at more contacts in some industries, of course our first contracts were helped by these network contacts, and were mostly, I think, initially banking and e-commerce websites, which maybe were the most mature too in terms of machine learning, so that was more natural. But then if you look at the customers page I sent you, you'll see that there are a lot of industrial companies now that use it. There's a lot of, we have a video game company. So it's really widened in terms of types of company. And so it goes from industry to banks and insurance and logistics company. And so we have a lot of templates, but we have, I think, at least one customer in for each of those specific.
And what would be, if someone was to say, oh, well, why couldn't I just sort of assemble all the pieces myself and make my own thing? What would be your argument for using the product instead of assembling the various kind of connectors and visualizers and everything themselves?
So the more technical users sometimes have their own workflow for their work. And it poses two main issues. So the first one is usually their workflow is completely local. They may be able to connect to where they want, but they will maybe run a Jupyter notebook, or they will have their own workflow on their own computer. And so the first issue is that doesn't enable them to collaborate with their team. So they maybe they're very efficient, but they don't really share the load. And sometimes you need some people that are really subject matter experts to help in the preparation. And then, well, maybe you're a data scientist and you can handle the machine learning part, but then how are you going to make some reports that are really useful for everyone, etc.? And the second major problem is for the company, because if everything is siloed in the personal computer of your employees, it's actually hard to coordinate teams. And it's about communication too. Like if you work on something in DataIQ, you can just comment or tag someone and say, well, you know, I've finished what I was meant to work on. Maybe you can take over and do the machine learning part, or just kind of interactions that will help the team go faster on their projects. The other, and this is purely a technical answer, but someone that is very technical will say, well, no, I can handle that. But the real technical answer is that it's actually very hard to get to a level of finish that I could use that, because we have those visual recipes that are really fast and easy to use. The machine learning is also visual. So, I mean, it's about getting the whole team on speed at the same level of skill, and it's really easy. It's the ease of use of that IQ that's really
and really good. What would be kind of what you think is the best feature you have that you like to show to potential clients? Okay,
that's a very difficult question. It really depends on what the client wants to do. I guess the killer feature, we don't have a killer feature, but something that's really at the heart of the business problems our customers see it's been a few years, but many people have switched to now have data problems, so they have switched to big data infrastructures, they have Hadoop clusters, and many companies, because it's hard to find skilled people to exploit this data, those clusters stay accumulating data, and the analytics are only run on very small samples. And what Dataiku will let you do is actually make use of this cluster, because it removes the barrier that it's so hard to get on to extract the data from the cluster, work with lab data, work with data that's updated every day. You can do that in Dataiku. You can create scenarios and then push that to production so that it runs on the production databases in a safe environment. And that's a real game changer in terms of analytics, because you do the analysis on big data and not on extracts. So that's one of the big things. Then that can really depend on people.
And finally, what's on the roadmap? What's the next kind of features announcements?
So our next version will it's going to be released pretty soon, actually. So within a few weeks, few months. I don't have a precise date, sorry. But one of the big things is about reporting. So and visualizations. We can mention that. So we are integrating more kind of visualization libraries. So we have we will make R Shiny available. So our people that are coding hard, we love R Shiny for visualizations because it's very powerful. Similarly, in Python, there's a library that's called Bokeh. So that's new types of web apps. We are releasing several new visual recipes for other types of data manipulations. We have a Pivot recipe, we have a sort recipe, and several others. What else? There are improvements. Yeah, so the machine learning part will be overhauled. So it's different. One of the major features is model competition. So you will have a live feedback on where your training is at. And then another big feature is ensembling models. So you can create ensembles based on the models you've trained. Let me see, maybe one more important thing. Yes, this is very technical. So visualizations, new visual recipes, overall machine learning, and something that's a bit more technical but that some people are looking for is will enable some virtual environments for the project. So you can have a safe and get out of your personal environment for each project. And if you want to tinker with the latest version of libraries, that's not going to break the projects of other people. It's just your own virtual environment.